Thank you, Jamie. And good morning, church. Today, we conclude our studies from the letter to the Ephesians. And the verses that we will consider are from chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. And here, the Apostle Paul focuses our thoughts on the master-slave relationship. Slavery in the Roman Empire was a common institution, and it's been estimated that in the Roman Empire there were 60 million slaves. So when Paul wrote to the slaves, he must have been writing to a very large number in the Christian church. And although our text today was originally written to slaves and those in authority over them, this can be easily applied to our social system and context in regards to employees and employers, or if you like, boss, between boss and worker. And that is what we're going to do. So if you have a Bible, please turn with me, or an electronic device, whatever you got, turn with me please to Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5, and we'll read together. If you haven't got a Bible or anything else, it'll be up on the screen, so follow there, which is the translation from the New Living Translation. The parallel passage for this is in Colossians 3, verses 22 through to chapter 4, verse 1. So we'll read this. Slaves. The term slave, incidentally, is a doulos, and can be translated servant. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Work hard, but not just to please your masters when they are watching. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. And in the same way, you masters must treat your slaves right. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. Only 5 verses. I feel a little more comfortable addressing them now that I'm retired than when I was in secular employment. But how many of you here enjoy going to work? There's about 3 or 4. How many of you enjoy the work you do? Well, there's a few more. Okay. Well, how many then of you fall into the group who get depressed every Sunday night at the prospect of going back to the factory or to the office to face incessant complaints and impossible demands? A couple. Well, although it isn't always easy to be a Christian today in the workplace, work is something we all do, and we spend a significant part of our life doing it. So let's consider the principles that Paul gave to masters and slaves years ago, to see how they still apply to us in the workplace. First, we'll consider the duty of the Christian employee, verses 5 to 8. Because these verses tell us how, as spiritual-filled believers, we are supposed to act to those who are over us in our secular work. First, start by being obedient. Verse 5a. Start by being obedient. The verse says, obey your earthly masters. So, fairly clear, isn't it? Christian employees are commanded to be obedient. This word obedient refers to one who waits for a command from the master and who then carries out that command. It is a word that speaks of willing, expectant service. Doing what you're told to do without complaint or argument. Paul does not tell the slaves to rebel. He tells them to be Christian where they are. Here is a great message of Christianity to every Christian employee. The message is that it is where God has set you that you must live out the Christian life. The circumstances may be all against you, but only that makes the challenge greater. However, let me say this. Although Christian employees are commanded to be obedient, obedience in everything is not an absolute command. Christians in the workplace must be wise and discerning because there are some commands we shouldn't obey that would conflict with the Word of God. Scripture calls us to keep a clear conscience in everything, according to 1 Peter 3, verse 16. Fortunately, I was never faced with compromising my conscience during my 45 years of secular work, but I know my own father was, in regards to his early employment. As a married man with a young family, and at a time when it was difficult to secure work, my father was promised a promotion by his manager if he would falsify some company records. He refused and resigned his position. And the Lord honored him, putting him into a completely different vocation, where for the rest of his working life, he was a great testimony and blessing to many. Thus, in order to practice obedience in the workplace, it calls for God-given wisdom and discernment. Now, there's something else here to notice about our obedience, and that is important. Paul says this kind of obedience is to be carried out with deep respect and fear. Here it gets a bit harder. I mean, we can obey the boss. After all, he's paying us, isn't he? But we're not only to obey him. We are to do it with respect. You say, Howard, hang on. Slow down, you know. You don't know my boss. My boss is a godless, mean, arrogant and clueless individual who doesn't know what he's doing. So how can I give respect? There's no way I can give respect. Do you know something? When someone is treated with deep respect, it stirs something in them. Even the worst employer or boss will be affected Because a Christ-like attitude can be life-transforming. You're bringing grace to work. And grace is a change agent. Grace changed us, didn't it? And grace can change your boss. Then there is this idea of fear mentioned here. On some translations, trembling. Now this does not mean that we fear the people we work for, that we are to go around shaking in our boots in fear of our employers. That's not what this is saying. What it means is that the Christian employee strives to do what is right out of fear of disobeying God. Why? Romans chapter 13 verse 1 teaches that no authority exists except that given by God. You see, God has placed our employers in authority over us. And when Christian employees obey their employers in the workplace, they make the teaching about God attractive to those they serve. Our obedience, or lack of it, will affect how people judge Christ. So in the matter of obedience with deep respect and fear, it is really about honouring someone based on their position over us. It isn't because our employers are anything special. It isn't because how good or bad they are. It's because we recognize that God is the one who has put them in position over us. And understanding that allows us to be obedient to them and the work we do. So as a Christian employee in the workplace, our duty is to start by being obedient. We are called to obey our master or our employer, our boss, just as we would Christ. And then we are to, secondly, serve as you would serve Christ. Verses 5b to 7, and we see it says, serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. According to these verses, our secular employment is just another means of serving the Lord. In verse 5b, Paul says, as you would serve Christ. In verse 6b, he says that we are as slaves or of Christ, that is, servants of Christ, to do the will of God with all your heart. This phrase refers to wholehearted dedication. It means that you're not just meeting expectations, you're going above and beyond in your job because that is what Jesus wants us to do. And when we serve wholeheartedly, we're storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven because we really are serving the Lord. And then in verse 7 he says, working for the Lord. Paul says that we are to look upon our job to our earthly master as a kind of Christian duty, a service performed as to the Lord himself. And this should be a strong motivation for every Christian employee to carry out even the most menial task to the highest level possible. We are not employees of a company or a boss. We are employees of the living God, regardless of our vocation. Now, I know this isn't always easy. As I said before, there are people who are hard to work for. Fortunately, all those that worked for me thought I was great. But there are others who are mean-spirited. demanding, demeaning, and even cruel. But as the best you can, you must look past the person and the issue and their issues and set your eyes on the Lord and serve Him even as you do your work on earth. This means that if the Lord has given you a job, and if you carry out the duties of the job to the glory of the Lord, God will bless secular work the same as He blesses sacred work. Your work in the world is actually service to the Lord. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus." Everything an employee does should be wholly offered to God. Wholly offered to God. Now note that Paul gives a twofold caution here. Firstly, not to serve to impress. In verse 6, it says, not just to please your masters when they are watching. The phrase, not just to please your masters when they are watching, refers simply to serving to impress. It has the idea of working hard when the boss is looking, but slacking off when he or she isn't. Even when the boss isn't looking, guess what? The Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord's will is that we give of our very best every moment we are at work. When we do our work to impress, we don't have the right attitude. Paul also says in verse 7, not to be people pleasers. Work for the Lord, verse 7 says, rather than for people. Once again, Paul brings out the idea of doing our work as a service to the Lord and not to people. But this time, he adds the idea of doing it with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is a word that carries the idea of zeal, eagerness. It's an attitude word. Why is the right attitude in the workplace so important? Well, attitude reflects our confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we truly believe that God is in control, that will affect our attitude. And our attitude will affect those around us. And as I've already said twice, I realize there are lots of people around who make it very difficult to have the right attitude. That's why Paul says that our attitude is as to the Lord and not to people. People will always disappoint us, but God never will. He is always faithful and is a steady rock we can anchor our attitude to. Because God is faithful, every Christian employee should have the right attitude in the workplace. So, Christian employees are to serve as they would serve Christ. They must be models of integrity while working. No pretense, no sham, not known for being lazy or wasting the employer's time. Such is not to be a characteristic of a Christian employee. They are to work, giving of their best at all times because they are seeking to please the Lord and to honour His name. So Paul says, serve as you would serve Christ, work as Christ pleases, not people pleases. So the duty of the employee is to start by being obedient, serve as you would serve Christ, and then thirdly, verse 8, seek after the heavenly reward. Verse 8 says, the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do. Here Paul gives encouragement to the faithful performance of servant service. Earthly masters might take no notice of the faithful service given to them, but the Christian employee can know that their heavenly Father will notice and will not fail to reward their work. Every good thing done is known to the Lord and will be rewarded. So let me ask, what reward do you seek in the workplace? Do you work so that you can climb the corporate ladder? Do you work to get a raise? Do you work to get employee of the month? Now don't get me wrong. We can all be happy for those things when they happen. But if that's all we're working for, we have missed the point here. Paul says we need to be working for eternal rewards. When we carry out our work as Scripture instructs, we will receive eternal rewards. You may not be rewarded, recognized, promoted, or properly compensated for the work you do here, but it isn't payday yet. It isn't payday yet. One day, all faithful service rendered to our Lord will be rewarded according to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 15. So if we work for him, we will please him. And if our service rises to the level of pleasing him, surely our employers will be pleased with our service as well. So the duty of the employee: start by being obedient, serve as you would Christ, and seek after the heavenly reward. Now let's look at the duty of the Christian employer. And you're saying, well, you're getting a lot out of these five verses. Hang on in, because we'll carry on with the letter S so you don't get too confused. Remember, start by being obedient for the employee, serve as you would serve Christ, and seek after the heavenly reward. Secondly, the duty of the Christian employer. For if the Lord has blessed you and you are in a place of authority over others, you need to take this command to heart. You need to. Firstly, verse 8, see they are treated right. Verse 9a. And in the same way, you masters must treat your slaves right. Look at how the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to start this verse. Masters, do the same. That means that if you are a Christian employer or manager, God expects you to behave in the same way as he expects from Christian employees. Carrying out your duties in a positive, enthusiastic, encouraging manner that makes it a joy to work for you. This doesn't mean a Christian employer can't. Point out the consequences of poor work. suffer a bad job review. But if and when it's required to do so, then do it in a spirit of humility and love. Recognize the fact that as a Christian employer, you are a representative of Jesus Christ to your employees and treat them as such. The outward actions required may be very different, but the duty of the Christian employee is to do the will of God and to manifest a Christ-like spirit in everything they do. This means that the Christian employer must take care of their employees with an eye to their welfare and to their best interest. They are to deal with them fairly because it's the will of God for them to do so. They are to respect them because to respect their employees is to respect and honour the Lord. A good example in the Bible is Boaz in the book of Ruth. He greeted his workers with, "The Lord be with you." He was sensitive to the needs of his workers and generous to the stranger, Ruth. His relationship with his workers was one of mutual respect and desire to glorify the Lord. You know, it's unfortunate when an employee says, "My employer is supposed to be a Christian, but you would never know it." Employers, treat your employees so they see your faith in your work. Then a very practical point is touched on in verse 9b. Stay away from threats. Stay away from threats. Don't threaten them. Threatening came very easily to the lips of the master of slaves in the ancient world, and the slave could not answer back. The employer may still today speak and act as one who has the whip hand, but the Christian employer is reminded that all they say or do to their employees must be said or done, remembering that their true master is much higher on the organizational chart. To him, they must both give an account. And that brings me to my final point. Not only to see and to stay away, but thirdly, verse 9c, submit to your master in heaven. Paul concludes by saying, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. Paul's point is that both servant and master stand ultimately on the same level. They both have the same master in heaven, and there is no partiality with him, none at all. We find a very practical, I believe, demonstration of this in the letter to Philemon. Philemon was a master who had a slave named Onesimus. Onesimus ran away from his master, and according to the law of the day, his master could have put him to death. However, after Onesimus trusted Christ, Paul sent him back to his master with a letter and calls Philemon to make his Christianity real. He is not to treat slaves like Onesimus as mere property. He is to treat them as people God loves. Masters like Philemon were to realize that they had a master too. Just as their servants served under them, they also serve under the Lord. Just as the masters in those days expected their slaves to submit, God expected the masters to submit. You see, God does not think less of you because you are an employee, and he does not think more of you because you are an employer. He has placed you where you are so that you could serve him there. And the best thing that you can do is to be fruitful for the glory of God. That's his will for all his people, regardless of where they are, whether they are a Christian employee or a Christian employer. God is the ultimate master, and we are servant to him. So the challenge. So what's the challenge for us today? We're all servants. We may serve others here, or others may serve us here. But ultimately, we are all the servants of God. Every moment of our lives is to be lived in his service for his glory. So can I ask some questions? Firstly, can people at your job tell that you are a Christian? Can people at your job tell that you are a Christian? Are you making a difference for him? Or are you discrediting him to those that really need to see him in a workaday world? Secondly, does the way you work honour Christ to whom you are accountable? If you are a Christian employer or a person in authority, do you treat your employees with a servant heart? Thirdly, are you working for a heavenly reward? Which rewards matter to you the most? Do you desire the temporary and shallow rewards that people give? Or do you desire with all your heart the eternal, precious rewards that our Lord gives? You know, that's a challenge, isn't it? I've got, during my working life, earned a lot of rewards, and they're either in boxes or shut away where no one can see them. I enjoyed them at the time, but when I reflect on back on them, how much more important is the eternal rewards that are never going to fade away or disappear? And finally, are you praying daily for your employer and your employees? Are you? Our message this morning was entitled, In Christ I Am Serving the Lord. Let's make up our minds today that we will use every opportunity we are given in life to faithfully serve the Lord and those around us. Regardless of where we stand on the socio-economic ladder, we are all servants. We are all servants. So let's live the servant life to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that the Bible is so practical as it teaches us how we can have a relationship with you and how to live in various circumstances for the glory of God and for our own good as well. Lord, we've considered together this morning this whole issue of servanthood, and we know that the Lord Jesus was a great example of this himself. the master and teacher who washed his disciples' feet, who, as we've already been reminded by Jamie, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on a cross. Our master served. So help each of us to faithfully serve you as well, wherever you have placed us. Maybe in school, or maybe in the university, or maybe in the workplace, maybe at home. Wherever it is, Lord, help us to honour you. Help us to seize the opportunities to spread the salt and light to those we come in contact with. We don't ask this, Lord, for ourselves. We're praying this in Jesus' name, and for his sake and for his glory. We lift that up and give it to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.